It's time to feel the rage. Join us on Film Rage, where we talk movies, current releases, coming attractions, streaming, and classic films as well. Directors and actors, beware, as you cannot hide from the rage. My name is Bryce, and I'm part of the Film Rage crew, which also includes Jim.
Hey, hey.
And Murray.
Yo.
Why is it you always talk all the time? I can't understand why you always voice.
This is the Merman, the voice of reason. These two can't agree on anything most of the time. Some movies are Mondo, some are just suck. Every week, something is going to make us rage. Join us every Wednesday and
feel the rage.
Haven't you ever wished to save someone beyond saving? No matter what the cost. This is uncharted territory. The body has to adjust, of course. We weren't built for this kind of thing. You'd be surprised at the things you find when you go looking.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Good day, sir.
This week, we have a very special guest, our old buddy Pete from the Middle Class Film Class. How's it going?
Oh, hello. Hello, podcast world. Hello, podcast That Wouldn't Diers. Or whatever you guys call your listeners.
The diehards.
The diehards, yes.
Somebody asked, I think there was like a Twitter question, what do you call the people listening to your show? And it's like, I don't know, family members? But it's also...
No, not family members.
No, that's true.
Strangers.
That's true. They're the ones who don't listen to your show. So.
Exactly. No,
that's great.
In my mind, they're the diehards, but I don't think they've ever been referred to such. But from now on.
That's funny.
They'll listen to the ones... that they're
on. That's okay. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
This is our highest downloaded episode because we had two guests on.
This week, we're discussing the Canadian horror classic, The Void, starring... Well, there actually were some recognizable people, right? There were a couple who were vaguely recognizable. So there you go. Look it up.
Unless they're on SCTV, I don't know Canadians.
You know Michael J. Fox is Canadian, for goodness sake. Need I say more?
He was in this movie.
He wasn't in this movie.
I was like, what?
He is Canadian.
Boy, that's
not in
I was
this
like,
movie.
That seltzer I had last night was strong. I didn't even notice Michael J.
Each week of the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. Pete, so what's up with you, man? What's the latest?
Oh, well, we're a couple weeks on the show. We're a couple weeks off of our normal schedule. We did 2 weeks ago. We did instead of our normal Gab and Chatter episode, we did all trivia, fun bonus, not bonus episode, but a replacement episode. And we had three of our Patreon members come on and compete against Joseph, one of the hosts. And it's a lot of fun, and I love trivia. We did the trivia mini series, limited mini series, like 10 episode arc,
on
the show a little while ago. And that was a lot of fun. And, so we did that 2 weeks ago. And then last week, just kind of out of the blue, we had scheduling conflicts, which we haven't had in like 4 years, and we had no episode last week. So we're 2 weeks off. We're coming back today. And every fourth Saturday, we stream our show live on Twitch through a local comedy theater called Stab Comedy here in Sacramento.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we're doing a stream in about, 3 hours and 45 minutes or so, but who's counting?
We should be wrapped up by then.
I don't know. I got a lot to say about this movie from Astron 6. So.
Now, we are also, you and I are going to be on a podcast in a week.
Yeah.
The Halloween Mega Podcast. Now, Aaron, you'll appreciate this. Pete was on our Friday the 13th Megapod. And yep. He's not a fan of those films.
Not the first one was cute.
Yeah. Are you a anti-slasher also?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't like actively go out of my way to like hate on the slasher genre in general, but I feel like there needs to be a reverence for what came before, but it's okay to be like, you know what? That was good then.
Yeah.
But it's not good now. And
it's amusing looking back at it. Now, right. Now it's so much less offensive. It's almost innocent.
Sure. Yeah.
And I still say the first ones are the best ones.
Yeah. And I'm a car guy. So a lot of my like reference points are based off of cars. And I've said this before on our show, but You know, the Model A was great. Try to drive a Model A or Model T to Bakersfield from Sacramento right now, and you will thank your lucky stars that you have, you know, a Hyundai Sonata to pop in, you know.
Plus, we're not 90 years old, so we have no interest in such a vehicle.
And I'm not a contrarian by any nature. My Twitter profile says the same thing. I would rather love a movie than hate it. And I'm very generous with my ratings on movies. But of the Friday the 13th series, I think at least half of them are 2 stars or worse. And the Halloween franchise,
it's worse.
It is worse. I think the overall average for me, because I just finished the watch through yesterday.
Yeah.
All 13. So 12 from the Friday the 13th series, if you include the reboot, 13 from the Halloween series, including the 2 reboots, and it's ridiculous. But I'm actually looking forward to it because I've reordered my Halloween rankings list, and I'm going to piss some people off. Not on purpose, but just I'm seeing the rankings, and I can hear Carlo's head exploding as we speak from Puerto Rico.
There are movies, a lot of the new ones, and I don't want to, you know, rehash this in a week, but in the new movies I hadn't seen before, really. And some of them are a little rough.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. I was like, starting the Rob Zombie, not a fan going in, and he did not disappoint. Let's just say
on brand.
On brand, very much so. Yeah, it's... And I always say I love the first 6 Friday the 13ths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a sliding scale.
You love.
Yeah. It's not Shakespeare.
The first 6. No. You love the first 6.
I love them, Aaron.
I love them.
Halloween, you know, the first one is obviously dynamite. I have a special place in my heart for the third one. And then it's a lot of digging through the trash.
Okay. I there's going to be some fun conversation to be had for that. So, and whose feed is that? Is that like housed on? Is that your feed? Or is it Film Effect?
It's Film Effect. This time it'll be Film Effect. Yeah.
Okay.
He's hosting us.
So. Awesome. Can't wait. I have some thoughts, and I have some thoughts about The Void too, which is a fun movie. Yeah, it's a fun movie that I've seen before, but you know, I don't think you guys have, right?
No. Aaron, why don't you give us your 30-second synopsis of The Void?
Dude, I was a little hammered watching this last night. So, here's the deal. So, in said small Canadian town, it looks like Squid Games is a secret society, and doctors have superpowers to turn people into slot monsters right out of the thing. And the local sheriff shuts that down because his baby is a spider baby. He needs to bring his baby back. The end.
Succinct, clear. I think we know what you were going with there. Good work.
What's going on with Canada? Because this acting... I kept trying to figure out why it looks like a made for TV movie. And then I realized it's just Canadian. So I think that's what this, we had a little bit of this when we watched the Canadian mine disaster, Valentine's Day.
I haven't seen that one.
That takes place at a coal mine.
Is that done by the guy that did Happy Death Day?
This was the original.
If only.
Oh, you watched the original one. Okay.
The original. The original from like 81 or something.
Okay, gotcha.
But Happy Death Day is a goddamn classic. I love
it. Oh, it's
Happy
so fun.
Death
yeah,
that
it's so
is,
fun.
That, now that is something I can get behind.
Absolutely.
Now that's a movie.
That's a film, some would argue.
Film, yes.
That's right. Now, Aaron and I, we've established this is our first viewing, and we almost watched the wrong Void.
I texted him a screen capture of 3 movies called The Void, 2 of which came out the same year.
Yes. 2 came out in 2016.
So to clarify, this is the Squid Game, and the old fake Malcolm McDowell suddenly becomes somebody out of the Marvel universe. That's the correct one, right?
It's
Dollar General Malcolm McDowell. And which usually I would just say Canadian Malcolm McDowell, but I mean, that's too on the nose for that.
That's too on the nose.
If you're not sure which one it is, The Void, if there's a triangle somewhere incorporated in the artwork you're looking at, it's probably the right one. And tentacles.
Right. And tentacles. A lot of they're big in their tentacles.
Write many spider babies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh yes. Goodness gracious. Okay, Pete, when was the first time you remember seeing The Void?
I think it's probably been about 4 years or so, maybe 5 years or so. So that would have been pretty close to when it came out, a couple years after it came out, maybe. And I didn't realize it was Astron 6. Do you guys know Astron 6?
No, what's Astron 6?
Is that the A24 of Canada?
No, it's kind of like the Broken Lizard for horror of Canada. They're like a group that makes movies together kind of consistently. Okay. Yeah, so Stephen Kostansky and Jeremy Gillespie, those are the writers and directors of this. They also did Manborg, Psycho Goreman.
I've heard of Psycho Goreman. Okay.
Yes. Have you seen Psycho Goreman?
I haven't. I've wanted to.
You're in for a treat because it's way more the fun scales ramped up in that movie, but all the like kind of fun practical effects are taken to the camp level rather than like the ultra serious cult level of this movie of The Void. They also did like The Editor, and they have their hands now because they've kind of proven themselves as these very competent physical practical effects gurus.
Right.
With a really weird twist. They're now like in, they've done makeup and special effects on Crimson Peak, on the new It series, Leprechaun Returns, of course. Yeah, but I really liked their old stuff. It was very low budget, and Manborg was like a 67-minute, barely a feature that looks like it was shot on a green screen in a garage and is so fun. It's like Canadian Kung Fury if it was like set in the future, and everybody knows Kung Fu and is also half a cyborg. So it's
Manborg, if you will.
Manborg, yeah, he's a Manborg. So I saw the name pop up when I watched it the first time. Yes. Like, oh, Kostansky, isn't that like for the guy from Astron 6? And so I knew what I was getting myself into, but this is more somber and ultra serious. And I liked that of it. I don't think it worked as well the second time watching it just this week for this. But as far as, like the overall tone of everything, and the cracks do show because it's trying to be like a quote unquote, a real movie,
right?
You know, like a mainstream movie, and that crappy sort of acting that leaves a lot to be desired works in the low budget stuff. But when you're trying to make a movie that feels like a film, it shows more. It's the juxtaposition is there. So I just kind of turned that part of my brain off for this time and was like, I'm just going to watch, try to figure out how they do the tentacles going into the guy's head, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, years and years ago, Walking Dead came out and then the Sci-Fi Channel had Z Nation and I watched both. And you could see, well, it's similar themes, I guess, but you could see the markedly reduced quality.
Sure.
When I think of Canadian horror, I often go just instinctively to Wolf Cop, for example. So, I kind of knew the moment I realized it was Canada, I kind of knew what I was getting into from the deepest, you know.
It was like as if Hallmark had made a horror film. It's that quality.
Right. Well, you know what? Why don't we jump right in to the highlights? Oh, goodness. Aaron, what you got? Why don't you go first?
First of all, the town has like 7 people, but everyone's in the doctor's cult. Who are the Squid Game people? Those are just townies, or are these also spider people?
That's Canada's KKK.
Right?
What?
It's the CCC.
It's a CCC. Where's John Candy?
That's how it is. No, you're right. There's 7 people in the town, but there's at least 150 cult members outside the old crazy hospital that half burned down. Yeah. So that's good. Good time.
It just freaking, they have, of course, they start off with the dude in the hospital watching Night of the Living Dead, because that's what you want to watch after you've just had a trauma and are in the hospital.
Why is he in the hospital? Did they establish he's just in there? He got his tonsils out, getting hit on by the candy striper.
Getting some oxy. It's a small town.
It is a small town. And that was kind of when it turns the corner, when the sheriff walks into the room, and I'm just jumping in, jumping ahead, and it's Beverly the nurse has killed Cliff, the patient. I was kind of like, well, because Cliff has had three lines. It was like kind of that nowhere land where it's like, it's not a non-character. It is a character, but now he's dead. You know, and same thing with Beverly. She's had a couple lines, haven't really established much about her. Now she's sliced her face off and has murdered Cliff, the patient.
Mm-hmm. And then I was confused. I thought that was Meth Head Joe that got stabbed in the eye.
Well, because they didn't zoom in on the face.
Right.
You're just kind of like... Some dude dead. That's basically what it was. And no one seemed particularly bothered by the fact that Beverly had sliced her face off. Did you notice that?
Yeah, they really focused on the murder. And it's like, if you if you've ever seen a meth-induced psychosis, you know, slicing the face off, it's in the realm of possibilities. So they're probably used to it up there.
They're awful calm for when if you're taking a lot of meth.
Well, he did say the meth head Joe who came in, he did say, you know, oh, I followed this girl to this pill house and they were going to hook us up with some crystal. And you're like, okay, so this is the Redding of Canada,
right?
Where there's meth on every corner. You can score it wherever you want.
Good old Redding.
The Ashland, Oregon of Canada. And
you can get some Shakespeare and some meth.
Yeah, there you go. At the same time.
Whatever it is you're looking for. Yeah. And this movie deliberately, and I read kind of behind the scenes where they talked about they deliberately did not answer a lot of the questions, right? That was on purpose. But I felt like
for the prequel. They were prepared for the prequel.
It's kind of a Damon Lindelof kind of situation, like Lost, where they're like, I don't know. What do you think? It was about the friends we made along the way is what it was all about all those years. Really? Good times. But sometimes it didn't make sense. So at the beginning, we see two people scamper from the house, and then the father and son come out, kill the girl, and light her on fire. I don't know why. I thought she was maybe infected with something, but Meth Joe was just infected with addiction, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, he mentions in when he's kind of telling the people that are about to break his hand or whatever with a hammer later on. He's like, "Oh, we found the pill. I found this pill house, and these people were made us have sex in front of them." And I was like, "What's the point?" At the end of it, I was like, "What's the point of it?" And I think maybe like they were trying to basically find that demon birth, you know, vessel. And maybe she wasn't able, I mean, he didn't finish or something. So they're like, all right, we're going to scrap these two, you know.
So you're saying the doctor was over there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because he's the head of the cult. He's basically Uncle Frank from Hellraiser, you know, mid transformation.
Yes.
And
if only he was such, Uncle Frank.
Yeah, he has such sights to show these meth heads.
I got a few things to show him.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was their intention, because ultimately what happened is that the other girl is already knocked up and she's about to have a baby, you know, in the hospital.
Well, that's why they lit her on fire.
Yeah, the other one was like, she's like, yeah, she's no good. She can't have our demon baby. So get out of here. Get rid of the evidence. Or who knows? Maybe they were just having a good time.
Those townies that are dressed as a Korean KKK, none of them are women.
Hey, who's to say? Who's to judge? You can't judge.
Well, they could all be. Women can be in a crazy sex cult too, Aaron.
Sure.
No, but why aren't they using them? It seems like if you want to bring Satan forth, you'd want like a good cradle, not necessarily Meth Sally or Toothless Sally from the liquor store.
I don't see. I think on some level they were having the meth heads have sex just for, you know, perversion. Right. Just to be like, we're all f***ed up. We are crazy.
By the way, we're on meth too.
We are fully culty. So if we're a culty, we got to have crazy meth heads having sex. That was my interpretation. Because you established, they already had, you know, the grand reveal that what the teenage pregnancy was the result, like the final fruit of their labor, if you will.
Yeah.
this movie.
Because they want a world full of spider people or the
doctors keep saying that it's moving beyond life and death and that death is just the beginning or something like that. And he's basically trying to make them become immortal.
Wes Craven. Yeah.
And it's almost like, well, if the goal is to get into this like immortal state, and they kind of go into that triangular shaped portal at the end. And, you know, that's a whole nother world. It's like, well, why not just take the people into that? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. And that's okay.
And why do you want to be immortal and just be all sloppy and jacked up? That looks terrible. That's my immortality.
Yeah. We've been having that type of movie since, I mean, it's an interesting like parallel to like Event Horizon,
right?
And Hellraiser. And any movie where it talks about immortality and you're like, but it's not like you're going to be, you know, receiving fellatio for the rest of your eternity. You're going to be being flayed from the inside out for all eternity. It's like, okay, that's not good.
Thank you, Clive.
If it was the former, I might sign up in all honesty. No, but there's a lot. Okay. The father and son. Uh-huh. We think their wife was abducted into the sex cult. Is that why they're on the rampage?
I don't think so. I think that the father and son,
because they're not cult members,
right? But he was blaming his son, saying it's his
protector.
Fault.
I think that's trauma from a prior, because when they're going into the dungeon and like into hell, which that's probably one of my favorite scenes, is when they get down in there and there's all those different corpses of, you know, things and
slop
demons
creatures.
And slop creatures, and they're like, we're in hell, and then the lights are all red and all these things start coming out of the woodwork. You're like, ugh,
I'd be backing out.
Yeah. For sure. And what the one smart guy does, like the sheriff or whatever, but they go deeper in and eventually goes full circle, and it's like they have they have gone into the hell, and then they start going down a hallway, and it turns into like their childhood home.
Yes.
And now they're at least in their minds, they're in their childhood home. And I think maybe it's implied that something happened back then and the mother died. Maybe the kid is somewhat blamed, you know, by the parents, and they leave it very cryptic, but
because not why a whole lot the of red, father and son on the rampage then? I thought that was a revenge thing.
Yeah, it would have to be related to this. Otherwise, they're just spree killers who stumbled upon
just a bizarre coincidence.
Well, it's a well-maintained militia that finally has a purpose, right?
There you go. Second
they're
Amendment.
Like, all right, we've been ready for this. Here it comes. It's slot monsters. We got shotguns.
The government's coming to take away your slot monster.
Yeah.
That is correct. Keep your hands off my slot monster. You can have my slot monster when you pry it from my cold dead hand.
Exactly. I would have loved to see Clint Eastwood in this movie, by the way.
Or Charlton Heston.
Absolutely.
Or any actor.
Or some actor with some acting ability would be nice.
I'll take a Costner.
At this stage of the game. So there's a lot of, like, let's say, twists and turns to this.
Yeah.
I liked how, I keep going back to the father and son, I liked how they said they fought their way, because the hospital's now surrounded by the cult members.
Yeah.
They fought their way through the cult, very silently, because not like we heard gunfire or anything, and got inside the hospital, because they're focused on the meth guy. There's 100 cultists outside I could be shooting at, but no, I gotta go for Meth Joe, for reasons ill-explained.
I thought he was infected, and they're trying to kill anyone infected.
That's what I thought.
That's apparently not it either.
No.
Well, the funniest part about the whole thing was the first person that becomes infected. I can't remember who it was, but he
Beverly.
I think it was the girl,
the nurse, right?
Yeah, it was her, and she kind of like blows up to this gigantic form, has all the tentacles coming out, and she becomes more slop than man at that point.
Yes.
And and when the tentacles come out and are like strangling somebody, and they come over, chop the tentacles off or whatever. I don't know, was it her? But either way, the first person they get into, they have the axe and immediately cut their head off. And you're like, there's been no lore established that this is what's going to kill it. They're just like, you know what? I got it. I might as well just cut the head off.
I'm here. Right.
Yeah, I'm here anyways. I feel like I'm going to regret it.
I got axes, so, you know, I got to do something with it.
Well, and the thing about Beverly the nurse is there really was no, like, incident that caused her to first flip out. There wasn't, like, she's not like, oh, my head, I'm being possessed. And there's no moment like that. Suddenly, out of the blue.
Nor anything where you would actually give a crap.
Right. That was kind of the thing. It's like, I felt like we needed more establishment from Beverly as a character that we give a damn about. And either more or less for Cliff. If Cliff's just a body in a bed, cool. Stab away.
Who doesn't like applesauce?
Right. But if you're going to give him some lines, I almost need you to like establish him more as a character that I care that he just got his eyeball poked by some surgical scissors.
He could be the sheriff's little brother. He could be blah, something. Blah, blah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that it's almost like this hospital is becoming like this landing pad for this demonic resurgence. And we find that out as the movie goes on, because, you know, why is the basement full of those things? You know, where did that come from? It's like, you don't get a whole lot of the answers from it, but much like Event Horizon, what it doesn't do that Event Horizon does is it tells you why. It's like, oh, right. we jumped through this portal and we accidentally crossed through hell and we picked up something along the way and it's growing and we're becoming slowly turned into, you know, this hellscape. With this, you're like, you get at the end, you're go, okay, well, the doctor is taking on some demon powers.
Yes.
And maybe there's a portal and stuff's coming out of the portal, or it's a dark energy or something. We don't know. You're all left to figure it out. But the plot is not why I come to this movie.
Right.
The acting is not why I come to watch The Void. It's to watch slop monsters and tentacles going into people's orifices and parts of their body that should not be an orifice.
That is true. They make their own orifices, no question. But so it's funny. It's like we watched Eraserhead earlier this week. Also, not really focused on plot, if you will. Yeah. So it's kind of that thing where it's like, I guess you just have to let the weirdness wash over you, the tentacles splash you.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that this is like David Lynch's Eraserhead?
I think they're very similar in tone and quality. No, not so much.
Shut your goddamn mouth.
Yeah, Dave. I think Eraserhead does so much with like just the absurdity of what is in front of you. You
know.
You have no idea. You have no idea what's happening. You don't know how it got there, what the creature is even. And and with The Void, I think the mystery of it is a good part of it. Right. If you focus on it and you're thinking, you know, what is this happening? Why is that happening? I don't want to know this and that. It's very easy to poke holes in it.
And that's what we do on this show.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm all about it because I remember liking it a lot more on my first watch. And like I said, I think this is not presented as an Astron 6 production because the tone is so different from their other stuff.
Right.
And you mentioned Wolf Cop earlier. That's the tone of their other stuff.
Right. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, you're laughing and kind of hooting and hollering at the screen as it happens.
Right.
Yeah, one of their previous movies is called The Editor. It's shot like a 70s giallo movie.
Well, let's get right back to
yes.
Yes, The Void. I appreciated the moment when the pregnant teen finally gives birth to the ultimate slop monster, which is as big as a house. So I don't know how big her womb is, but boom.
It's like the TARDIS.
It's the TARDIS.
Bigger.
It absolutely is.
Her womb is the TARDIS. Absolutely. Yes, exactly.
Her womb is the TARDIS. Well, and it kind of explodes out of her. Did you notice that? There's literally an explosion sound and then like viscera flies and she's still with us. She's still looking around going, what's going on? She's being dragged along as the creature, I guess, is still attached by an umbilical cord.
Yeah, that's gnarly. Yeah, that's why they didn't want to use any of their female cultist members, because they knew that she would be exploded when the Paimon, the demon god, comes out. Demon baby god. I like the skull attached to it. It reminded me of the bear from Annihilation.
Yes, absolutely. I could see that. Not as deathfully played, but yeah, I could see with what you're...
That's a top 10 all-time tense, freaky moments in theaters for me was that bear scene. I saw Annihilation in theaters and hearing it scream out in a human voice and then rip... What's her name's Tessa Thompson's jaw off or whatever, whoever, what, Gina Rodriguez's jaw off?
Gina Rodriguez.
You're like, oh my God.
Aaron, we reviewed Annihilation. Do you have any recollection?
No.
Natalie Portman?
No.
One of my favorite sci-fi's of the last 20 years.
Make me watch so many movies that it's just a blur. Quite frankly, I want you to tell me what happens in this movie, because my understanding is the doctor was bringing back his daughter. But yet...
That's the daughter, the king baby, meth baby.
So even though there were five other meth babies that they just keep stomping out, they keep having to bring them. And what's the point of the portal of hell in the bottom of the hospital?
My interpretation is that the portal is where the powers come from. Like, it's been there. Like, he had to summon the portal so he could get his powers, then to bring her back. It's a 10-step process. We're only seeing steps 9 and 10. So,
and how is the slot monster the daughter from the picture?
It wasn't painfully obvious. She looked just like her. She had her eyes.
But then after she swallowed them, then what happened? So is he trying to create an army of slot monster daughters? And why isn't he a slop monster then in his final form instead of weird 70s dad?
Like a black, bony, he's f***ed up too.
But they show a picture when he's young and he was never so ripped.
Shit.
We always want, you know, for our children what we were not able to have ourselves.
There it is.
It was always my dream to be a slop monster with many appendages.
I could never get it, so at least my child can be a slop monster.
I like that no matter what explanation we give, we start out with, well, my interpretation is.
Yeah.
It's like we're reviewing art or something.
Who was it you were talking about earlier? The Lost?
Yeah, the Damon Lindelof.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I forgot Lindelof.
Well, yeah, if Lindelof's name, you know, is involved in the screenplay, teleplay at all, you know, a lot of questions, deliberately no answers.
Yeah.
And he'll get angry with you saying, that's not what it was about. It was not about the mythology. It was about the relationships. You bullshit. Know,
speaking of David Lynch, a little earlier, yep. I mentioned him. He's very, very, very... pro not telling people what his movies are about, also.
Even the actors.
Yeah. No, he won't tell anybody. There's a great, we reviewed Mulholland Drive just recently on the show, and there's a interview, like a panel question, a Q&A sort of interview after a viewing, and a woman asked him, you know, hey, me and my son, we really like that. I'm an English teacher, he's an English major, and we really are not 100% sure what the movie's about. Can you
nor
tell
am I
us?
Nor yeah. am I are you gonna tell me now, because I have watched it, I did enjoy it, I have no idea what it's about.
He essentially said, isn't it obvious?
That dick.
And
love you, David Lynch. He's getting a Christmas card this year.
There's a fun trivia about David Lynch. Any DVD or Blu-ray that he officially like endorses, that he has his stamp of approval on before it's released, is missing two things, two features. There's no commentary track, because he doesn't want to tell people essentially about, you know, the movie, you know, and what it means and stuff. He has no explanation. Also you have no, you lose the ability to skip scenes. You have to watch the movie start to finish.
That son of a bitch. That's the only way I watch David Lynch movies.
I know.
But backwards?
Oh, I'm skipping this one. No, because this is the David Lynch podcast, but there's
David
always
Lynch.
Random bullshit that he likes to throw in there. I'm convinced just to f*** with people. That's my theory.
For sure. I mean, It's like him and God, who is the other one? Like, oh, we also just recently reviewed John Waters' movie, The Crybaby. Yep. And they're like two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
Just putting weird shit in just to like
to entertain himself.
Just poke you right in that weird spot, and you're like, why is he eating that right now?
John Waters is definitely down to poke you in that weird spot, no question.
Ooh, hell yeah.
He's down. Absolutely. And I do love John Waters also.
King Flamingos. Have you seen that?
I did not, but I did give it to our brother-in-law the year he joined the family as a Christmas gift.
We're not reviewing Pink Flamingos on this show or any show I'm affiliated with.
I have no desire to watch that movie. Actually, Crybaby is the only movie I've ever seen from him. I've seen pieces of Hairspray, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
Hairspray.
Pink Flamingos, there's at least three scenes in there I don't want to watch. So.
At least. For openers. Yeah,
at
yeah,
least,
yeah.
I've seen some of the other ones, but yeah.
I don't know. I was telling Aaron this last week. It's like, I have this thing about plot. I like to know, you know, there's a...
Clearly, that's more of a suggestion and not a hard and fast rule by the number of movies you've forced me to watch.
Shut your damn trap. How dare you? No, look, you can argue the quality of some of the movies that we've discussed, perhaps rightfully so. But at least there's a linear plot that generally you can follow. That's all I'm saying. Your Memento. Movies do not have that. Forbidden
you
Zone.
Watch Memento, that is not a linear plot.
Oh, and that's Dynamite. So there is exceptions to the rule.
It's linear in a very different sense.
That's it.
It's backwards linear.
It's exactly. They just turned it backwards.
Yeah.
Any other highlights you guys want to discuss of this?
I got all kinds of things. At one point, the doctor is saying, you know, watch out. Do you want to make this worse for her? You know, when his wife is all tubey, I'm like, really?
How could she be worse?
How is this going to happen? What's he going to do to make this situation a little bit worse?
Yes.
And because we just saw David Lynch, I assume any of these tubes coming out of her is just semen everywhere.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure. No question. I didn't like at the end, I found it bizarrely unsatisfying that the two people to survive in the hospital were the candy striper who disappears for the last 45 minutes and hides in a closet. And the son,
as Aaron would do.
That's right. And the son who literally has no lines. Right? He's called the son and he just kind of reacts to his abusive father. That's all he brings to the table.
How about the police officer who's literally been shot, stabbed, run over, and the motherfucker just keeps getting up, and you know, you walk it off, shake that stab wound out of your shoulder.
Well, and in the alternate world they were living, the new hellscape, his like estranged wife, totally fine, no tubes or anything. She's like, oh, I'm cool now, let's hold hands in this hellscape.
What's a candy striper?
Those are the volunteers.
Well,
they change bedpans.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, candy striper. What is it? It's a volunteer kind of nurse in training kind of thing, isn't that, Aaron?
Oh, you're talking about
like
Ellen
high
Long?
Schoolers,
high school
something.
Age, right? They want to be nurses one day, so they kind of volunteer after school.
And they wore these pink and white striped outfits.
Got it. Okay.
So you knew they
like
were
nurse,
not qualified
like
to do a goddamn
Pokemon.
Thing.
I know you guys both understand that reference.
Kevin Light.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
That was, I mean, so the candy strapper, I'm assuming that's Ellen Wong then?
Yes.
Okay. That was the only person I recognized from this. Knives Chow from the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Did you notice that, Aaron?
That was Knives Chow. Yep. I love Scott Pilgrim so much.
Yeah.
Now I gotta go back and look at that again. She did look maybe a little familiar.
You know,
what
would make Scott Pilgrim even better? Slop monsters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question. Unmotivated slop monster. Scott Pilgrim just walking down the street. There's a slop monster dropping.
You
by.
Dated that slop monster. Now I have to defeat it.
It could be like the vegan who falls off the wagon. Then their special powers. Now they're a slop monster because they're just eating like McRibs and like Fritos or something.
You have to be a slop monster.
I mean, hot Funyuns.
Eat a McRib, by the
That's
way.
That's what happens to Brandon Routh after he eats that gelato. Into the slop monster. He says, "Vegan,
vegan, vegan." At one point, another scene was like they're killing the first slop monster, And every time they had to look away, every time they stabbed him, it looked like Dr. Pimple Popper. It was just pussy ooze coming out.
Yep.
Then they blow up a slop monster, but then a chunk falls out of the ceiling and comes back to life. Now that was John Carpenter's The Thing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
melted crayons and a chicken foot.
Yeah, there's so many creative, gross things in this that... I mean, that's the first thing I think of when someone's like, oh, have you seen The Void? I've heard that's pretty good. I'm like, it's a wild movie and it's gross. And you're going to watch it and think, how do they do this? I mean, they did it way back in the day when they did The Thing.
Right.
You know, just as good. But it's interesting because when you watch The Thing, most of it is like most of those like extreme scenes that you think of that immediately come to your head when you think of The Thing are done in full lighting.
Yes.
This is all done in kind of dark red lighting and kind of flat.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah. And I mean, you got to work with the, you know, your budgets. Cause this was a crowdfunded movie. This
right.
is not a studio movie.
Shocking. I know.
It's hard to believe. Project Greenlight. Remember when that was a thing?
No, I don't know that.
That was an HBO show. They actually threw in some real celebs and people. It was a reality show where people were making a movie.
Oh, interesting.
It was produced by Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They did three seasons where it was literally like amateur screenwriters submitted their scripts. Mm-hmm. They chose one script, then they had an amateur director direct the script and the process of it. Yeah.
But they hired real actors and everybody was pissed and you never heard of any of those films ever again.
Everyone was pissed.
Like American Idol, it's like you can name maybe two of the winners of American Idol. They've been on for 40 seasons.
Kelly Clarkson.
There you go. That's all you need to worry about.
Jennifer
She's
Hudson.
The only one. Jennifer Hudson. They're the only two still kicking around.
Miranda Lambert.
I don't know.
She's country. Yeah, did exactly. she do that, or is that my thing? Is somebody else? Underwood. Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood.
Yeah.
I'm like, Miranda Lambert.
Miranda Lambert evidently was not. Sorry, Miranda. I guess you just did it the old-fashioned way. Clay Aiken did not win, but
no,
I've heard
but
of
he,
him.
Yeah, but he went on to run for Congress.
He did not get elected. Sorry, Clay.
What a bummer.
Oh, for two.
That is shocking.
A lot of the makeup and special effects crew actually were taken from Suicide Squad, David Ayer's Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kostanski was a special effects coordinator and makeup coordinator on that movie, and they were kind of coming to fruition when this whole thing happened, and they were like, oh, can we use your green screen? Can we do this? Can we do that? And then a lot of people were like, yeah, let's make this slop monster movie. Let's do it.
I'm sure Warner Brothers was thrilled just passing along all their, resources. Help yourself, show.
I got a glue gun. I got some fake fur. We can melt a crayon. Slop monster. Boom.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch Suicide Squad, a lot of slop monsters.
Yeah, very similar. Very similar tone.
it's
meth heads cutting their skin off.
Right. It's an unofficial prequel, I think.
And Will Smith is a sharpshooter, whatever, Deadeye, whatever his name is.
Deadshot.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
Kevin's got it all fucking memorized.
You better believe it. any other thoughts and feelings?
You know, there's... This is objectively not a great movie.
Objectively.
But yeah, there's no arguing that. But I really like the DIY like world of film. And I like it because, you know, I made movies when I was like a kid, you know, a teenager.
Right.
You got a mini DV camcorder. It was finally attainable to be able to carry a camcorder around with you. So me and my friends made movies, we made commercials, we made music videos, you know. Some of my friends now are in film production and advertisement production, like high-end advertisements and stuff like that. And it would be so cool to make something like this. And even one scene, I can imagine just how much that would take of my life to make one of these
Absolutely.
Scenes. Creating it, creating the monsters, test running the special effects, testing it under different lighting situations before you hit the slime button, you know, the cum button.
There needs to be a slop button. You just hit it like it's on. You can't do that on television.
It just oozes out.
Yeah. Every time.
Double dare.
Every time he says angels to some, demons to others, you hit the button and then just the...
A bucket of slime just drops on.
Yeah.
That's too much to ask.
I just love that just thinking about it in terms of that, and it's like the story, who cares? You know, I get what you're saying. It's like, if I'm going to invest, you know, 100 minutes of my life into this, I want a congruous plot, and I want to see some resolution at the end. I don't want them to be standing in a vacant wasteland with triangles all over the place. And then you're like, okay, now I'm in the Outworld from Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yes.
It can be frustrating, but it's like a movie like this feels like it's just, the plot is just a means to get from one goopy scene to the next.
Right. And Aaron texted me, I watched it earlier in the week, and I said, it's decent. I didn't hate this movie. It sounds like I'm tearing it apart. I did not hate it at all.
Yeah.
There were definitely questions.
Yeah.
I had about it. So we'll talk about our ratings in a bit. Shall we go behind the scenes?
Boom. Sure.
Behind the scenes. As you mentioned, The Void was a crowd-funded project. Specifically the special effects. They had to make, I think, $80,000 thereabouts to do their special effects. Yes.
It seems like you just go to Goodwill and you get 90% of the stuff right there.
Go to Goodwill, get a buck in the slot, and you're good to go. Hardly anything in the film is CGI. All of the monsters, gore, etc. are real effects created by the team behind the movie.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me that.
How dare you?
I'm glad for that. It's
they ain't got no CGI budget.
I know. When you have a really interesting, like, a practical effects movie, and then all of a sudden their CGI blood pops out, and you're like,
it sucks.
It's weird. It's like it takes you
obvious.
Out of it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, Jurassic Park was a huge leap forward in kind of CGI. Obviously, yeah. You couldn't make that movie without the CGI. But generally speaking, I think you got to go practical. Mm-hmm. You got to. You know, it's like you watch, years ago I watched, was it XXX2 State of the Union? And it was literally like, with Ice Cube, you know it, don't you?
Yes.
The entire climax was just CGI, which is like, it's like you're watching a cartoon, which is fine, but it takes away something. That's all.
I was watching John Wick 4, and at one point, And maybe it was 3, it was 3 or 4, and he's driving and he's spinning through a roundabout. And it's so obvious that he is not in the car. There's like this overlay putting him in it that clearly does not match. And those movies are fucking expensive. And nobody says, hey, this looks like shit.
Yeah. Oh, people say it.
And I love 3 and 4. So
before I move on, I have to comment on one thing about Jurassic Park.
Please.
Because people a lot of times will talk about how great the practical effects is and how great the CG is in it. The thing that makes it so good, and it's been said before, is, you know, using it when you need to and not when you don't need to.
Right.
Using the CGI when you need to. So there's one specific scene. I just watched that again recently. I've seen it like a billion times. And there's the scene where Nedry is about to get oil slicked in the face by the Dilophosaurus.
Yes.
Yeah. He about to get slob monstered. So he throws the stick. He goes, hey, see the stick, stupid. Yeah. And then he throws the stick. If you look in that shot, the Dilophosaurus turns to look back where he threw the stick. That's a CG shot. And then the next shot, he's standing in the same spot, and that's practical again. It's practical the whole time. And that one single shot where he turns, because that practical set piece of the Dilophosaurus can't move its head like that.
Right.
So they use it for a second. And before you even realize it, it's back to practical. So your mind like fills in the blank where just make that whole monster out of that whole dinosaur out of CG, you're like, okay, that's a cartoon. I'm not afraid of it.
We're just not there yet that you can replace everything with CGI. We're not close. So
yeah.
That's an excellent point. Let's see. The hospital used in the film is actually a former high school. Shocking.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Let's write that down. I want to remember that in case anyone asks.
Very similar to my high school experience. Yeah.
It was, absolutely.
Yes.
The writers of the film say they were inspired by Guillermo del Toro, who was working on the ill-fated At the Mountains of Madness when he made a comment about wanting to do Lovecraft in a way that no one had envisioned or seen before.
Guess what? I'm not getting any del Toro from this situation.
Well, it's, you know, he inspired them because at the Mountains of Madness was a H.P. Lovecraft story.
Yes.
So this movie's meant to be kind of inspired by.
Oh, was that Cthulhu coming out of her vajayjay? Is that what it is?
Yes. That's exactly right out of the vajayjay.
It's
no question.
Vajulu.
Vajulu? Yes.
Yeah, it's Vajulu. You got to pay extra for that in most counties.
Absolutely. Well, and it also kind of reminded me vaguely of another H.P. Lovecraft movie we've done, From Beyond. Where it's same kind of thing.
That too. Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't nearly as much, S&M in this movie as there was in that one. So
I forgot about the bondage. Yes,
the unnecessary sex farm in From Beyond.
What is this guy doing?
Art Hindle, who played the supporting role as Mitchell, the state trooper, who's in like 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He had been in a Cronenberg movie in the 70s called The Brood, which was another kind of creepy body horror movie.
Seems to me like I saw that. And he had one of the dick moves. It was like, what would your father think about this catastrophe? I'm like, what? Sure. I'm like, f*** you, dude.
He shot a person who was coming at him with she just killed someone.
Right.
There should have been some sass back for that line.
I know.
Your father would have let a crazed meth head stab him a few times before he pulled his gun. Absolutely. Let's talk about the cast. I mean, they're Canadian. I'm sure they're very Canadian. Popular. Degrassi Junior High. There's a lot of those things.
They're very polite.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's see. Aaron Poole played Daniel Carter. You know him from such things as The Empty Man in 2020. You know it, don't you?
Yeah, I actually like that one. It was really good.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of emptiness here.
He was a writer on the short Oracle.
Okay.
And he played Johnny in 2007's This Beautiful City.
Oh, wow.
He is currently on the Most Dangerous Game TV series. So there you go.
Survivor? See, this is what I always said. Why Survivor, how you want to get that better, you turn it into the Most Dangerous Game, and there needs to be snipers up in that palm tree. Back in the old days, people were near organ failure. They had to be rushed to the hospital. Those skinny 20-year-olds were like you could see if they needed an appendectomy, because you could actually see through their transparent skin and watch the appendix break.
Then they don't do shit.
So I hope they turn Survivor into the Most Dangerous Game.
I hope they don't, actually. That sounds dangerous.
The only way to bring it back.
I want real life and death online.
Right. Just drop off on an island. No prep at all. No tools, no clothes. Like Naked and Afraid. Who knows what's on this island?
And what's the point of them being naked if they just blur everything out?
So you want
they might
Cinemax
as well just
version.
Be wearing body suits.
About. Yeah,
interesting. Kenneth Welsh played Dr. Richard Powell. Always find it interesting when they give you the full name of a character.
Sounds like right out of a soap opera.
Absolutely. He was Vice President Becker in The Day After Tomorrow. He was the doctor in Miracle. He was in 10 episodes of Twin Peaks as Wyndham Earl. And he was Utley in Time Cop, and I absolutely have no recollection of that character or that name. And I love Time Cop, so.
I know you do.
Let's see. Ellen Wong played Kim, the nurse trainee. You know her as Knives Chow in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. She was in 29 episodes of Glow on Netflix.
Nah.
9 episodes of something called Dark Matter.
Nope.
And 26 episodes of The Carrie Diaries. There you go. She might be the most successful actress, like in the show, actor in the show.
I think so. Yeah,
you could be right.
Let me see. Art Hindle. We talked about him very briefly. He was Trooper Mitchell. You know him from Porky's.
not the original. No, he wasn't in the original.
Yes,
Porky's.
He was.
What was he like seven?
He was. What's funny is he was the older brother who was the cop in Porky's.
Oh,
what
wow.
The, what? How the fuck old is he?
He's not young.
He's got that Canadian aging serum.
I mean, this is a 2016 movie.
Yes. I'm going to knock your socks off. He was in 1974's Black Christmas as one of the boyfriends.
What? Old is he?
Yeah,
maybe
Methuselah.
He's a slot monster.
Methuselah.
There's maybe some witchcraft.
He was in 1979's The Brood, we talked about.
Good heavens.
He was in 96 episodes of something called ENG.
I'm assuming this is something Canadian.
Live from Manitoba. I don't know. Who could say?
Manitoba.
Let's talk about the ratings. The rating for The Void on Rotten Tomato currently 78% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. All you know what the audience gave it?
48.
I say 55. 48. Look at that.
Oh!
Wow.
I'm buying lottery. I'm buying lottery tickets today.
I'm in awe.
That was pretty impressive. Let's talk about the top critics, what they had to say. See if there's anybody we recognize.
And let me just say, please. Staff writer is not top critic.
If they're on here, I'm doing variety staff. Get ready. Tom Huddleston from Time Out says, a gloriously unfettered throwback to the wild days of the 80s horror.
Isn't that Loki?
That's Loki does a little writing on the side.
Tom Huddlestack.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
That's Tim Huddlestack.
Correct. Adam Naiman from The Ringer says the resulting splatter is a bloody mess, which, if not a mass audience spectacle, is exactly what these filmmakers were going for in the first place. Boom. People seem to care for it. They liked it. Aaron, what is your rating?
My fucking rating on this piece of trash is Jesus. 2 TARDISes in my vagina out of 5.
Is that good? I don't know what the... Okay, anyway. Pete, what you got?
I'm going to give this a 3.5 tentacle puncture wounds out of 5.
I think I'm about there as well. I'm going to say 3.5 crazy, frankly, very healthy meth heads, if I had to guess. I mean, they don't look very methy to me.
They have all their teeth, so that's...
Well, they have that Canadian healthcare. And I just want to say that Kevin always rates every movie, I swear to Jesus, at least a 3. And if it's super great, a 3.5. But I'm not sure. I think you even gave Eraserhead a 3.
That's absolutely not true. That is a goddamn lie.
What are you talking about?
If you think I give a lot of 3s and 3.5s, tune into the Halloween episode and see what kind of... little spoiler, little foreshadowing coming at you. No, it's decent. It's decent. I thought, now it's obviously, I love how I use Canadian as like a pejorative. It's very Canadian. So that being said.
I mean, the truth can't hurt, right? Come on, Canada. Pick it up.
Pick it up, for God's sakes.
For God's sake. Don't make it so obvious it's Canadian.
Right. I thought the mood was actually pretty effective. Some of these special effects were a little janky. A lot of kind of flapping things and rubber masks, but they did what they could do. I would say, you know, it's Halloween. You happen to stumble across it flipping channels. Why not check it out? I don't know.
It's a great party movie or like a group movie.
Yes.
You got friends party over.
Party movie.
Yeah, you're hanging out. Like, well, I like to have, if I have people over sometimes we're just having fun or whatever, always have a movie playing on this screen with the volume turned down and then music in the other room. And it's like something like Mad God or this or... You know, something funky that you don't have to pay attention to.
Like the Mystic Knights of the Oingo Boingo? Perhaps play that in the background at your party.
I know
Oingo Boingo, but I've never heard that. I do love Oingo Boingo. Dead Man's Party.
The Forbidden Zone, friend. Put that on in the background.
Do not put that on.
But this feels like that type of movie because you cannot pay attention and then pop out and go, oh my God, what is that? You know? And
so something you can ignore.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. And yeah, if we have Aaron at the over of the house, she just won't be in the room.
I'll walk by, make a snarky comment on my way to the keg, and then on my return I'll say something else.
But we cannot understate the fact that this is made for $82,000,
right?
You know. it's a fantastic looking movie for $82,000. And if you're comparing it against Jurassic Park, or comparing it against, you know, the all time classic sci-fi movies of all time, it's not going to hold up to that. But it's pretty f-ing good for $82,000.
It's pretty good.
It doesn't hold up to Blair Witch. Frankly, I kept staring at this. I'm like, the lighting is flat. The dialogue is flat. The acting is flat. I'm like, even the lighting, it looks like it's just three shades of gray. There's so much wrong with this.
That's fine. Look, Blair Witch stinks.
Well, and like here's the thing.
Shots fired.
You can't really compare them, because Blair Witch is just three dudes running around in the forest, right? Mm-hmm. And they go like, oh, I found
something. Talking about homemade films.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because this kind of aspired to something greater, because it had all the special effects that they had to kind of do their best with. So I cut them some slack, a little bit of slack. But yeah,
I would have loved to see this in theaters, just to like see people be like I saw Men in theaters. And when the final scene happens in Men, do you guys see that?
No. What's that?
Alex Garland's Men.
No, but okay. I'm pumping the brakes here for a second. Are you saying we're watching a movie that was never?
It was in theaters.
Yeah, it did. I would have loved to see it.
I was like, oh Lord, now we're just going direct to video.
Yeah, it made $300. Looks like per at least on the Wikipedia, $377,000 worldwide. Probably only made it to America and Canada for a short time, but
right.
You know, debuted at Fantastic Fest and then TIFF after that, and it's like. Probably didn't get a big rollout. I don't know how many screens was shown on, but
big in Regina.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. With the TARDIS. Saskatchewan. but it was just, it would be an interesting movie to see like that, just because seeing those DIY special effects on a big ass screen would be very fun.
It's fun.
It's just, it's cool to see. It's like, I'm just a big proponent of DIY stuff. So when I see it, I'm like, oh.
You have to celebrate it.
Yeah, this is slop. It's in the best possible sense.
It's extra sloppy. Yeah. I think we can all agree on that.
And I have to say, if you liked Wolf Cop and you even enjoyed this in any way, you got to watch Psycho Goreman. It's like Hellraiser mixed with Power Rangers and produced by GWAR. So whatever that means to you. Oh, it's great.
All I'm envisioning is Power Rangers with Pierce nipples. Is that correct?
You're not far off.
There's a lot of that. Good times. And I've got to check out Manborg as well while I'm at it. Why not?
Oh, yeah. That's on Manborg's on Tubi. Psycho Goreman, I think, is streaming on Prime right now. But I have that on like three different copies of Psycho Goreman because it's so fun. I have a signed Stephen Kostanski. Who directed this, wrote and directed this, I have a signed poster of Psycho Goreman, the Japanese print, on my wall in my office at work.
You're a fan.
I love Kostanski in general, but Psycho Goreman is a mwah. It's great.
A chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Good times. Sweet Jesus. So go to our page on Twitter, Facebook, we're on X, Threads, YouTube. We're all over the place. You can email us at thepodcastthatwouldn'tdie@gmail.com.
I'm distracted because you didn't ask me if I had anything else to say.
How many times do you want me to say? Aaron, do you have anything else to say?
I also got the vibe from the slot monsters that it was like Little Shop of Horror. Feed me Seymour. I was waiting for that line.
Oh, that would have been great.
Excellent.
Feed me.
That was worth it.
I think for how sloppy the slot monsters are, this would have been better with a little bit of humor. Sure. Them trying to play it so straight.
The tone didn't quite land as well as I would have liked, especially on the second watch. But you mind if I throw my socials out there?
Absolutely. Go for it.
If you want to check out our podcast, it's called Middle Class Film Class. We release two episodes a week, one on Mondays, one on Wednesdays. Mondays are Gab and Chatter. It's movie discussion, movie news, and streaming recommendations from all three of us, Joseph, Tyler, and myself. And on Wednesdays, we do a deep dive review, just like this, into one movie of our choice from a spinning wheel of destiny. and our Patreon members have picks on the wheel, and we do fan picks and trivia and all kinds of fun stuff. It's a blast. So you can check us out there, any podcast service, or mcfcpodcast.com.
Sweet. And
he has a very radio voice. It's like I'm listening to Tom Morell on Sirius XM.
Unlike our shrill piercing. And I'll include your links in the show notes as well.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely check that out. Also, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So check that good stuff out. Aaron, yes, what's your social media crapola?
I am on the gram. I am don't feed the pigeon. I am also the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I'm on Artsy and First Dibs for my fancy foo Polaroid art. Buy some, won't you?
Won't you indeed? Now, what we try to do each week is include viewer, listener, mail, comments. So, Aaron, I'm kicking it to you. What we got?
Dick Sargent wrote in commenting, Aaron and Kevin are the funniest people in podcasts today. Joe Rogan. I believe that was a direct quote.
Well, generally speaking, I hope that we're directly quoting the listener and viewer mail rather than just kind of, you know, giving our impressions.
God forbid you think I'm exaggerating, but that's how hardcore our fans are. Thank
God
you.
God forbid, indeed. Next week, we're discussing the sci-fi action film Dredd, Dredd. Starring Carl Urban.
Love it. So good.
Cersei Lannister is in this one. Wood Harris. It's an all-star cast, for goodness sake. You can watch it on Netflix. So you don't have to. Oftentimes we punish our
right
listeners
now. That's nice.
By saying, drop $3.99 to watch Eraserhead on Plex or something. So thank goodness for that, at least. So send in any favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may discuss it on the show. So thank you very much. Thank you to Pete for joining us.
Yes.
And be well.
Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Bye.
Toodaloo. Don't do math. Don't do speed. Look what will happen. Slot monsters will come and kick your ass.
Don't mess with the slot monsters.